It's a special pledge drive edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This half hour, we listen back to a special IPR event we held back in December of 2013 in Des Moines before a live audience. We called it Politics and a Pint, and our guest was NPR's political correspondent, Don Gagne. I began by asking Don Gagne about his first experience on RAGBRAI that summer, and then invited him to play a trivia game we called What Does Gagne Know About Iowa Anyway? You certainly have gotten to know Iowa in your reporting over the course of many years, but this summer you got to know Iowa in a much different way. You took part in RAGBRAI, the Register's annual great bike ride across Iowa, along with two of your NPR colleagues. Was it Scott Horsley and Brian Naylor?
Yes, yep, two guys. And our, if you go to NPR, our cubicles are like adjacent
right
to
there.
One another.
You're joined at the hip.
We joined at the hip, both on vacation and at work.
That was would be an interesting looking bicycle if you were all joined at the hip.
It would.
Your team, your trio, your team was called No Pie Refused. This is one of the things that, of course, RAGBRAI is known for. I went my first. We didn't run into each other with 15,000 riders.
Yes.
I guess it's believable that we wouldn't run into each other. So your team, No Pie Refused.
And just Scott Horsley gets credit for coming up with the No Pie Refused. It was NPR No Pie Refused, right? But that was on our backs because we wanted people to know we were from NPR. And on the front, there was a bicycle, and I think Scott drew it. And Scott's not a great artist, I will say that. But but it was a bicycle with pies for wheels. And then it said 24-hour news cycle. So that was our uniform. $10
T-shirts. Your estimation of how many pieces of pie that your trio ate, or you personally ate?
Over a week. Probably 20 pieces of pie, each of us, maybe.
Good job.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, okay. You're burning it off.
Okay, now we're
so
going to
okay.
Now we're going to compare favorites.
I had more pie than pork chops, but not by much.
Oh yeah, Mr. Pork Chop.
Yes.
Yes. Your favorite piece of pie?
You know, it was the first stop, and it was the peach pie a la mode at the Lions Club in whatever the first city was.
Really? Mine was a raisin pie. I'd never had it before, prepared by some Mennonite women. That was just marvelous.
Amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. Don Gagne is with us, NPR national political correspondent. And now, Don, we want to have you play a game with us. And there is a reward for your achievement in this game. But we'd like to have you play a game that we're calling What Does Gagne Actually Know About Iowa Anyway? And here's how it works. We have 10 multiple choice questions based on Iowa trivia. They are sent in by our listeners. We've solicited them over the last few weeks over the air. By the way, thank you so much for sending in so many bits of Iowa trivia. We have over 100 very interesting facts of Iowa trivia. We had the tortuous task of selecting only 10 to make into questions for you, Don. But thank you all of you Iowa Public Radio listeners for being so responsive in coming up with trivia that will astound you. Anyway, what's at stake for you, Don? Depending on how you answer, you will be given a certain degree of Iowa honorary citizenship status as decreed by Iowa Public Radio. You answer 8 to 10 correct, and you will be given the title wow, you have more smarts than a birthday spanking. That's 8 to 10 correct. Answer 6 to 8 correct. 6 to 7, I guess that would be correct. You earn the title, where you've been hiding your second brain, Don. Answer only 3 to 5 correct, and you will be known as we're going to blame that on the beer, Don. And answer less than 3 correct will give you the rather meager Iowa honorary title of Iowannabe.
So I might argue that doing RAGBRAI and spending like 1,000 nights in Iowa hotels in the last 10 years might give me honorary Iowa citizenship.
We'll submit that to the committee. This is okay. Not a decision I can make alone. Okay. We make that together as Iowans, don't we? Yes. Okay. Okay, question number one for Don Gagne in our quiz. Nathan M. Pusey of Council Bluffs was the first person born west of the Mississippi River to become the president of what? A, Harvard University, B, the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention, or C, the NRA?
There have been many people west of the Mississippi who've been the president of the Association for Pet Obesity Prevention. I don't know if this was the first. I'm going to say Harvard University.
Don Gagne, you were right.
Hey.
Oh. And we have a scorekeeper here. Dennis Goldford is with us in the audience. Dennis, would you stand up? Our political analyst on Politics Wednesday. And Dennis, because my brain is already so addled by the beer, Dennis is going to be our scorekeeper. So we're one for one. Dennis's job is to keep track of that to see what degree of honorary Iowa citizenship.
I don't know how many times I've made a frantic call to Dennis on deadline, telling him something has happened, I need you to help me make sense of it. And I even once went to his home and met his dog, and he was not in his pajamas, but thank you.
Don Gagne, you are one for one in our Iowa trivia quiz. Second question. At one time, muscatine was known worldwide as a premier source for what? A, brass instrument mouthpieces, B, pickled pig's feet, or C, pearl buttons?
Some people are saying pearl buttons.
Okay.
And it would be rude of me to disagree with them.
You're going to go with pearl buttons?
I'm going to go with pearl buttons.
It could be a ruse.
This is Iowa. They wouldn't do that.
Okay, pearl buttons. Wait a minute. With the answer is the Iowa Public Radio listener who's from Marshalltown, born and raised in Muscatine, who sent in this piece of trivia. Dave Perkins with the answer.
At one point, Muscatine was known as the pearl button capital of the world. There were fires down the river. We see people boiling out the shellfish harvested from the Mississippi River to make pearl buttons that were exported all around the world. My grandfather owned one of the many button factories. I have a brother who works in one of the two remaining ones, although it's all plastics now. I remember watching the automatic button cutting machines when I was a kid in the button factory. It belonged to my grandfather, and my father ran for a while.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay. We're friendly to outer staters. We'll see how much help you get in the next ones. Okay, here, Don Gagne. Dennis Goldford, score here?
Two rights, none wrong.
Two rights, none wrong. Two for two. Question number three for Don Gagne. In 1839, Iowa experienced the Honey War, which was a dispute over the border with Missouri. During the tension, Missouri officials tried to collect taxes from people that claimed to be in Iowa, but they refused to pay. So instead, the Missouri tax collectors did what? A, submitted scathing op-ed commentaries in local newspapers, most notably the Honey Press. B, they chopped down Iowans' trees that were prized for containing honeybee hives. Or C, they smeared honey on doorknobs of Iowans who were delinquent on taxes.
Oh. I like C, but I'm going to go with B, cutting down the trees.
You think that the Missouri, they would do that?
Yeah.
The Missouri, they would go across the border.
Yeah.
I hear a murmur out there. I don't think the audience is quite as knowledgeable on this one, but perhaps. You're going to go with what again?
I think it was B, the cutting down of the trees.
That is correct.
All right. All right.
Amazingly, the matter was eventually settled by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Really?
Yes. It looked as though violence would start. The Missouri troops were dismissed. Missouri's jurisdiction was withdrawn back to a compromise line. Iowa troops went home. The so-called war was over. No one was killed or injured.
Well,
the Iowa
thank
war.
Goodness.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Dennis Goldford, the score here?
Three rights, none wrong.
All right.
Wow. Okay. Right. You're on your way to being smart as a birthday spanking.
Yes.
Okay. Number four, the Des Moines The Des Moines Lobe is what? A, a neighborhood in Des Moines with a tradition of campaigning for Dave Loebsack. B, a flat area in northern Iowa formed by glaciers. Or C, a part of the brain that uniquely enables a person to mentally ignore the smell of hog manure and other unpleasant farm smells.
Again, I like C, and it may indeed be true. Has to be, right?
Right. You know, you go to a farm, and instantly you say, this is a different smell than I have in suburbia.
Yes.
But you get used to it, right?
Yes.
Wouldn't it make sense that there would be
No, it makes great sense, but I think it's more of a geography thing. I think it's B.
Okay. A flat area in northern Iowa formed by glaciers. Yeah. Let's listen to the listener, IOPR listener, who sent in this bit of trivia, Jennifer Nealand from Tama, for the answer.
The Des Moines Lobe is the flattest part of Iowa. I know some people that traverse Interstate 29 in western Iowa might claim their area of the Missouri Valley is the flattest part, but the Des Moines Lobe, with its recently glaciated topography, is the largest flattest area in Iowa.
The flattest part of Iowa. Congratulations.
May Reg Bry go through there next year.
Scorekeeper Dennis Goldford.
Don, you've passed mere Iowa wannabe status. You're now up to 4 and ascending.
Question number 5 out of 10 for Don Gagne, NPR national political correspondent. In 1920, a new mayor of Davenport, Dr. Charles Bearwald, took office. It was a sweeping victory for himself and other members of his political party, which also won a majority of the seats on the city council. He was the first and so far only member of this party to serve as Davenport's mayor. Was he A, a Democrat, B, a Republican, C, a socialist, D, a member of the Farm Labor Party, or E, a fascist? Dr. Charles Bearwald, 1920.
I'm going to go with socialist. I've never heard of the fascist party.
C, socialist, is correct.
All right. All right.
Amazing. We are, Dennis Goldford, this is amazing. It's no wonder he's an NPR political correspondent.
He's pitching a perfect game, 5-0.
Five for five. Number 6, the Cedar County Cow War. The Cedar County Cow War, this is a real thing. We did not make this up.
People sent these in.
Yes, all of these.
Wow.
And we did not make up any of the alternatives either. They are real things that actually exist. The Cedar County Cow War in 1931 involved an opposition to testing dairy cows. There was a concern a certain disease would spread to humans when they drank the milk. Apparently, veterinarians attempting to do the testing were subjected to minor levels of violence, such as having eggs or mud thrown at them, and getting kicked by farm wives. What were these veterinarians testing for in the Cedar County Cow War in 1931? A, tuberculosis, B, polio, or C, bovine cat scratch fever?
I was going to say this is just a guess, but that would imply the others weren't also just guesses. Let's say tuberculosis.
Okay, and here with the correct answer is the woman who works at the Iowa City Public Library. I know her well. Maeve Clark from Iowa City with the answer to the bit of trivia that she submitted for this test.
Cedar County Cow Wars happened because two veterinarians came to Cedar County to test the cows for tuberculosis, and the farmers didn't want this to happen. In fact, they sent the veterinarians to the farmer Jake Lanker's house, and he was guarded by 65 deputies. But when they got there, the two veterinarians with the 65 deputies, there were a group of 500 farmers on the farm to stop them. And then 1,800 National Guard soldiers arrived in Tipton, and they came to protect the state veterinarians, and they had machine guns, which they placed at crossroads. And the soldiers also enforced the state law with bayonets.
I love your listeners. This is great.
I do too. Machine guns and bayonets. We got in on the Cedar County Cow Wars.
So I'm a Jimmy Rogers fan. We have Jimmy Rogers one. Of course it's Clay. And he had a hit song back in the 20s, the TB Blues. So that was why I guessed tuberculosis.
Okay.
That's a public radio thing.
Dennis Goldford. We have...
Yeah.
This is amazing, isn't it,
Dennis? I'm really fun at parties.
Okay, go ahead, Dennis.
I was sick that day in grade school when we had to learn to count this high. But six right, none wrong.
All right.
All right. Well, he's avoided the we're blaming it on the beer. And while you're sipping a beer. Very good. Very good, Don Gagne. Question number 7. Two Iowans have received the Nobel Peace Prize. The most well-known is Norman Borlaug for his work advancing agricultural production techniques. The other was a man named John Mott. He was the long-serving leader of what? A, Trees Forever. B, the Order of the Sons of Italy in America. C, the YMCA. Or D, the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics at Colorado's Naropa University.
I don't know that that gets you a Nobel. Peace Prize, anyway. It might get you. I'm going to say YMCA.
Answer is C. You're right.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Mott was recognized for establishing and strengthening international Protestant Christian student organizations that work to promote peace. Number 8, Fayette, Iowa, is home to Upper Iowa University. It's the only town in Iowa that has a college or university, but does not have what? A water tower? B, a brick and mortar campus? C, a high school? Or D, a sense of humor?
I've been there.
You've been to Fayette, okay. Beautiful part of the state.
I don't recall seeing a water tower. No, I think a high school.
The Iowa Public Radio listener who gave us this bit of trivia for this question, Tom Wickersham from Cedar Falls, tell us what the answer is.
Due to a number of mergers in public schools in Iowa, Fayette no longer has a high school.
Wow.
Did he say murders?
Merger.
Mergers. I thought Merger. He said murders. I thought, okay. I thought that's a really odd.
Oh, my. Don, you've been out east too long.
Yeah.
Dennis?
Well, you know, if you get to 10-0, somebody's going to want you to run for governor here. But 8 right, none wrong.
Or you go to the Rose Bowl.
Question 9. Question 9, also of a political nature for Don Gagne. Which First Lady of the United States is not from Iowa? A, Mamie Dowd Eisenhower. B, Lou Henry Hoover. Or C, Bess Truman.
Hoover.
Lou Henry Hoover, B is your answer. That is incorrect,
oh.
Don Gagne.
Oh.
The correct answer is Mrs. Truman. Mrs. Truman was from Independence, Missouri. Mrs. Hoover was from Waterloo. Mrs. Eisenhower, Mamie Eisenhower, from Boone, Iowa.
Okay.
All right. How does it feel to get one wrong?
And, you know, I was just starting to care.
Well, your last question. This will decide whether you get 9 out of 10 or 8 out of 10 correct. The very first Iowa territorial Supreme Court case was decided in July of 1839. It was the case of a Missouri man who made an agreement with his slave that allowed the slave to reside in the Iowa Territory to earn money to purchase his freedom. 1839. The ruling outlawed slavery in Iowa long before the Emancipation Proclamation. The case is known as what? Is it A, concerning the nature of Cornelius? B, regarding the matter of Ralph? C, toward the repatriation of Toby? Or D, for the release of Fred?
I'm going to go with Cornelius.
Concerning the nature of Cornelius.
No. It's not Fred, is it?
You're getting some moans and groans out there.
Ralph. Really? Ralph.
Could be another ruse.
I'll stick with Cornelius.
You're going to stick with Cornelius. Concerning the nature of Cornelius, here with the correct answer, the IPR listener who submitted this bit of trivia, Jerome Thompson is the state curator for the State Historical Society of Iowa. Give it to us, Jerome.
This is the case of Ralph, which basically ruled that Ralph, who was a slave for an owner in Missouri and working in Iowa in the lead mines of Dubuque, was extended equal protection, and thus it ruled that slavery was illegal in Iowa. It's also important to note that Ralph was not the only person who was enslaved and living in Iowa. I mean, it's not clear what other people owning slaves in Iowa thought about it.
State curator for the State Historical Society of Iowa, Jerome Thompson, thank you for that submission. Don Gagne, I'm sorry. 8 of 10 is pretty darn good.
All right, thank you.
And with that, we decree you honorary Iowan with the title, Iowa. Wow, you have more smarts than a birthday spanking.
All right, I'm honored.
Are you old enough to ever have had a birthday spanking?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some things we don't talk about anymore, yeah. Do we? Don Gagne, this has been wonderful. I want to remind our audience that Politics in a Pint is part of Iowa Public Radio's Insight series made possible, and these are important people that help make this event possible. Dr. Richard Deming, Drake University, Isles Funeral Homes, Douglas and Deborah West, and Bob and Kay Riley. Our thanks to Brittley Martin and the entire membership team for this wonderful live event. River to River, produced by Emily Woodbury, Sarah Bowden, and Ben Stanton. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Production assistance from John Pemble. I'm Ben Kiefer. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio. Don Gagne, you can come back anytime as an honorary assistant. Talk politics.
I'll be back.
Don Gagne, thank you very much. Thank you.